as we've heard, John Warner's decision to stay out of the race adds to the questions about how Republicans will fare in next year's congressional elections. NPR political editor Ken Rudin is here now to talk about Warner's seat and some of the other Senate seats in play. And Ken, it sounds like the Republican Party is really going to miss John Warner of Virginia.
They will. Had he run again for a sixth term, even though he's 80 years old, he would have won. Most likely the Democrats were going to stay out and give him another shot. But there's an irony here, given the fact that conservatives have never liked John Warner. That goes back to 1987, when he voted against Robert Bork, Ronald Reagan's nominee for the Supreme Court. He voted against the Bork nomination. When Oliver North ran for the Senate, the Republican nominee for the Senate in Virginia in 1994, Warner actively campaigned against him. And in 1998 and 1999, during the Clinton impeachment battle, John Warner voted against convicting Bill Clinton during the Monica Lewinsky thing. So conservatives have never loved him, and yet, with him gone, the Republican Party certainly risks losing that seat. There are two Republicans running for the seat. Tom Davis is a moderate. Former Governor Jim Gilmore is a conservative. If he decides to run, Davis is definitely running. There will be an ideological battle in the Republican primary. It could be an ugly battle. And that could open the door for Mark Warner, the former governor, no relation to John Warner, the former governor who toyed with a presidential bid earlier this year. The Democrats would love to see him run for the Senate there. And should he run, he may very well win.
John Warner, a man with a lot of friends in the Senate. But let's talk now about a fellow Republican who seems to have no friends left in the Senate, and that is Larry Craig of Idaho. Of course, the disclosure this week that he had pleaded guilty after he was arrested in an airport men's room, and he's scheduled to make an announcement in his home state tomorrow. The Associated Press now reporting that he will say he is resigning from the Senate.
Not a surprise at all, Melissa. There's been an unbelievable amount of pressure on Larry Craig to resign. It's been an awful week, not only for him, but for the Republican Party. The last thing the GOP wanted as the Senate comes back into session on Tuesday is all the attention to be on Larry Craig and his indiscretions over, you know, that's been reported all week long. And the Republican Party from day one, from moment one, really, have done everything they can to force him out. Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, said that Larry Craig's actions have been indefensible. John McCain, Norm Coleman, several other Republican senators have called for him to resign. The Idaho Statesman, the big newspaper in Idaho, front page editorial calling him to quit. And there's been reports out all day long today that Butch Otter, the Republican governor of Idaho, has already planning to name his lieutenant governor, Jim Risch, as Larry Craig's successor. So the handwriting was on the wall. And Larry Craig apparently has finally read it.
So assuming that Larry Craig resigns or at least does not run, Larry Craig, John Warner, that would be two seats that the Republican Party was not expected to have to worry about.
Can I just say
about
one thing about that? It's interesting because the Democrats have not won a seat in Idaho, a Senate seat in Idaho, since 1974, and yet they felt very optimistic given the problems with Larry Craig. They thought maybe if he stays in the race, they'd have a shot with him. But if Larry Craig is gone, Democrats don't have a shot there.
How many seats are up for grabs next year in the Senate, Ken?
Total is 34, but the Republicans have to defend 22 of them. That's a lot of seats, a lot of energy, and given the fact that Virginia and Idaho were not supposed to be on the list of things they have to worry about, it is a big uphill struggle if they hope to regain control of the Senate.
So 22 seats for the Republicans, 12 for the Democrats. Who are some of the most vulnerable Republicans next year, would you say?
Well, a lot has to do with the war and the unpopularity of the Iraq war and also the unpopularity of President Bush. So you have Norm Coleman in Minnesota, where President Bush and the war are extremely unpopular. You have him up for re-election. You have John Sununu in New Hampshire. New Hampshire has been trending Democratic the last election. The governorship, both House seats went for the Democrats. The state legislature went to the Democratic Party for the first time in like a century. So John Sununu is on the defensive in New Hampshire. Susan Collins has a very tough battle for re-election in Maine. And Gordon Smith, even though he's moderate conservative, pretty popular, the war, again, is very unpopular in Oregon, and he'll have a tough battle as well. Also, you should also look at the state of Colorado. Wayne Allard is retiring there. Again, Colorado is another state that seems to be trending Democratic. Democrats are very optimistic about capturing that seat as well.
Okay, and what about on the Democratic side? Any Democrats that look like they might be in trouble?
Well, there's, I don't know about in trouble, but there are certainly two states we need to watch. Certainly, Mary Landrieu in Louisiana. Now, unlike her fellow Democrat, Governor Kathleen Blanco, Mary Landrieu has not suffered politically because of Katrina. Her leadership is not in question at all. But given the fact that so many of the Democratic demographic has left Louisiana. Mary Landrieu could be in some kind of trouble. The other state might be South Dakota. Tim Johnson was reelected 5 years ago by only 524 votes. He suffered a brain hemorrhage back in December. He came back to South Dakota for the first time this week, for the first time since his illness. But given the fact that he has very halting speech, questions about his stamina, the question is whether he is up for another grueling campaign, if not six more years in the Senate.
Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor. His Political Junkie column can be found at npr.org/politicaljunkie.